have intentions of finishing this morning, but as I was going over my notes, I don't know that's going to be the case, so I'll try. And then after I finish, my dad's going to teach for a few weeks on the tribulation and what someone would need to do to make it through the tribulation. I kind of fast-forwarded through the tribulation time period last week, because he's going to go into detail on some of that, and we'll do the best we can to have a handout for that as well for everybody to follow along with, and hopefully that'll be either next week or the week after, depending on if we can finish this up or not. But we've been doing an overview of dispensations. Dispensations are different stewardships that God gave to men down through the ages. His plan started off with all of mankind. Adam and Eve, the first people there in the garden with the dispensation of innocency. And that's the first one that we covered. They were in a environment where they had not sinned. They were given a free will. The only instructions they were given was do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave them a choice to choose Him. And as we see every one of these dispensations, God is asking for man to choose Him over themselves. And so in this very first one, we find out that they sinned, they chose, they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they lost their innocency. And so it moved from that dispensation to the dispensation of conscience, where God gave them a conscience. That is something that God gives to every person. And they have to ignore that conscience and sear their conscience to get around it. Nobody is born a certain gender and believes that they're another gender the moment they're born. Amen? That they have to sear their conscience. They can't say, well, I was born that way, because they weren't. They were born the way they were born. And that they have a conscience that tells them what's right and wrong. So Adam and Eve received that conscience when they received, I believe, their bloodstream when they partook of that fruit. And they received a conscience. Now they have the example of the garden, and they also had a conscience to tell them what's right or wrong. The Bible says they ended up doing every evil thing they could imagine. And so God moved to another time of human government. Again, up to this point, God's still dealing with all of mankind. And this time, mankind has grown quite a bit. The population's up very high. And so God tells them to govern one another. Tells them to go. So they have the example of the garden. They've got conscience, and they were told to govern one another. And we find out that this ends with them banding together to build a tower to try to reach heaven. That they wanted to be like gods and reach heaven, but do it without God. And so they didn't obey this either. And so then we find that God scatters them all over. We find that the dispensation of promise is when God calls out Abraham. And now God's going to go dealing with a certain people, right, a certain group. And it's the Jews. And God calls out Abraham as the father of the Jews. And so now God's going to deal with this group. And for the rest of the Bible, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with God and His people. There is a mystery time period that we're in today, which is the church, that we've dealt with. But for the rest of the Bible, pretty much God's dealing with the nation of Israel and these people. He makes promises to them that He will be their God and they will be His people. And as you read through the Bible, you'll see where they disobeyed God and they got away from God, and God would punish them or send some kind of judgment and draw them back to Himself. And His desire the whole time was for Him to be their God and for them to be His people. And so, the dispensation of promise. Well, in the dispensation of promise, God told Abraham and the Jews to stay in the land. And they never would stay put where God put them. And they're still fighting over that land today. So, God wrote out a set of laws for them, the dispensation of law. And He wrote it out for them exactly what He wanted them to do. And they agreed to this contract with God. And we find out that they couldn't keep the law. They didn't keep the law. And then we have the dispensation of Christ's earthly ministry, which is a continuation of the law. It's up until Jesus came, it was the law, and then John and the prophets, and now Jesus Christ is there. And then the dispensation of grace, which is what we're in now, is the church age. And this is a parenthesis in God's prophetic table with the nation of Israel. It's the time that we're in now. It's the time that's supposed to provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. It's the time where the Jews and the nation of Israel will be a stumbling block to the gospel. And all those things are absolutely true. Brother Grady says it all the time. He says, your Bible just might be true. Amen. And I believe it. Every prophecy up to this point has been fulfilled with perfect accuracy. And I have no reason to believe that the rest of it won't be fulfilled. Jesus said He's coming back to get us. I believe He's coming back.
Amen.
I believe it could be any day. So the dispensation of the grace of God. This is going to end with the rapture of the church. And then God's going to go right back to dealing with the nation of Israel. The tribulation, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble, is for the Jews. It's for God dealing with the nation of Israel. It's a prophesied judgment that's going to come. And God prophesied it all through the Old Testament, Matthew chapter 24, other passages in the Gospels where He prophesied the things that would take place in the tribulation to deal with the nation of Israel. We are not the eighth nation of Israel. We didn't take their place. So this doesn't have anything to do with us. We will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That is our judgment. Our sins were dealt with on Calvary. Our service after salvation is dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. And so we will stand in judgment one day, but it's not going to be during the tribulation. All right? And that's going to go over that. So this brings us up to what we're going to start on today, and that's the dispensation of the millennium. So the tribulation is going to be a seven-year period of time. And like I said, Dad's going to cover some of that and go over those time frames there. So that ends, and the dispensation of the millennium is going to begin. This period of time will begin following the second advent when Jesus sets up the kingdom for 1,000 years. Now, what we're about to go over, and again, we're just skimming the surface of all these things. There's a whole lot of more teaching, greater depth that you can go into on this stuff. But there's a lot of churches within probably a 20-mile radius of our church that believes they're amillennial. They believe we're even in the millennium right now. And or they don't believe that Christ is physically going to come. They spiritualize all these verses. But Jesus Christ Himself will physically sit on this earth and rule and reign. And that's going to happen after the tribulation. And that's the time we're talking about now. This dispensation covers multiple prophetic passages. All right. Now in our scriptures, we've been trying to show you in the Bible where it goes, like what books and chapters it covers. And this is going to go into toward the end of the book of Revelation. But there is a whole lot of prophetic passages about the millennium. Jesus Christ is going to set up His kingdom for 1,000 years. It will end when the present heaven and earth are going to be burned up and the white throne judgment takes place. The Bible calls this period of time the regeneration. The regeneration. After that, you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's just read a couple verses on this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. And there are a whole lot of verses that deal with the millennium. All right, I mean, we could be here for weeks and weeks just dealing with this one subject. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's how this whole thing's going to end. This thing with the millennium, that's how it's going to end, with everything being burned up. Again, there's a lot of other verses we could talk about. But the time itself is going to be a time where Jesus Christ reigns on this earth, a physical kingdom, a physical king on a physical throne. It's known as the regeneration. It's also known as the times of refreshing. The times of refreshing. I'll try to read some of these verses for you. You don't have to turn to all of them. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19. The Bible says, Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So it's known as the times of refreshing. It's known as the restitution of all things. The restitution of all things. Jesus Christ will be here on this earth. He's going to make all things right. All wrongs will be made right. Every nation that's turned against God, every individual down through the years, every wrong will be made right. The restitution of all things. All these people today that want restitution, and they want payback for, you know, their ancestors from 150 years ago. God's going to make everything right. All wrongs will be made right. And we can rejoice in that, but us in the body of Christ that's going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we probably could shed a tear over that as well. Because everything's going to be brought to light at the judgment seat of Christ. All the things we haven't done for Christ or should have done for Christ.
The Bible says every idle word that we speak, you shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
That's right.
And if we're going to get down to the very word that we spoke at some point in our life and give an account for that,
yeah,
I don't want to go. I mean, it's it'll be wrong.
God will make, yeah. But all things will be made right.
Yeah.
All right. This millennium will begin when Jesus sets up the kingdom. So, and there's verses you can go over on all this stuff. But Jesus Christ will come down here and He'll physically sit on a throne. And He'll rule and reign from this earth for 1,000 years. And there's so much to go over in this that I just go on top of it. I got all these things running through my mind. But Jesus Christ Himself will be here, and there's still going to be people rise up against Him.
Yeah.
I mean, He's there. I'm going to get to the planet. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The plan of salvation works. Every other one up to now, that except for the time that we're in now, has been faith plus works. Faith plus works. Jesus Christ Himself will be here. No need for faith. He's right there.
Right.
He is the Messiah. You just do what you're supposed to do. Thankfully for the church, we'll be ruling and reigning with Him. And I'm not gonna get into all that today. We covered that in other studies before. But we'll have the opportunity to rule and reign with Christ. And all that'll be determined on what we've done for Him down here. Alright, so it begins when Jesus sets up the kingdom. It ends when the present heaven and earth being burned up, and the white throne judgment. That's when this time will end. And man, there's a whole other study on the white throne judgment. Can you imagine people standing on absolutely nothing while they're being judged? That's going to be a scary thing. All right. Everybody got that before I move on? All right. It is pictured, this millennium is pictured by the Jewish Sabbath days and referred to as a rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. You go back and look up some of these verses later. It's known as a rest. The Jewish Sabbath days were supposed to be a day of rest. When we were over in Israel, Brother Bowen was over there with me. And the week that we went was the Passover. And we arrived the day before, I believe, their Sabbath day, which is Saturday. And they're not allowed to light a fire. They're not allowed. So the practicing Jews, they don't even flip a light switch. Because if you flip a light switch, it causes an arc inside of that switch when it makes the connection, and that's a fire. And so they don't even flip a light switch. So in the high-rise apartments, we were staying in one of those while we were there with the missionary. And we were way up there. I mean, I don't know how many floors we were up. But they, on the Sabbath day, there's an elevator that all day long stops on every floor of that high rise, up and down all day long. So they can get on that one elevator and they don't have to touch any buttons. They don't have to hit the button to cause a spark. I mean, they took that thing super serious. And brother Lord, that we were there, that was his name, Lord. That's why I called him Lord. Amen. And so all day long, that was it. So brother Lord told us, he said, do not get on number four. If not, you'll be stuck. So going to every floor, so we were able to use the other ones. But on that day, what I'm getting at was that's supposed to be a day of rest for them. They prepared all their food the day before. And we got to witness some of this. Sister Lord's family was very Jewish, and they were practicing. And so we went, and they talk about preparing all the food the day before and those kind of things. And so it's supposed to be a day of rest. So when you read about the Sabbath day in Scripture, that's a picture of the millennium. It's supposed to be a time of rest. Now, Jesus will be here on this earth, but the devil is going to try to rise up an army. But during the millennium, guess where he's going to be? He's locked up. All these people say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't this time. He's locked up. Amen. Isn't that not what the Bible says? Most of the stuff the devil makes you do, the devil don't even know you did it. All right, picture by the Jewish Sabbath day and referred to as a rest. Jesus Christ will rule this earth from the throne of David with a rod of iron during these 1,000 years. I'll read one of these passages for you in the book of Psalms. I'm thankful I'm on his side. Amen. And it'll be neat to be able to rule and reign with him. Psalms chapter 2 and verse number 6. I've heard people make statements before like, I pray God will let me be over this city, you know, or something like that. That they got some kind of thing they want to, you know, vengeance or something on it. Psalms chapter 2, verse number 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree of the Lord. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. This is a prophetic reference to the millennial kingdom. He's going to rule and reign from this earth. All right, the dispensation covenant is the new covenant that God's going to make with the nation of Israel. That's found in the book of Hebrews, and it's also prophesied in Jeremiah and some other places in Scripture. But the book of Hebrews is all about the new covenant that God's going to make with the nation of Israel. And there's so many verses that deal with like the lion and the lamb laying down together, and there's all kind of things about this millennial kingdom that could be covered. But this covenant will be the new covenant. The Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant. We've talked about these all along the way in this time of dispensations. These covenants that God made with Abraham and David under the law, they're going to be completely fulfilled in this kingdom age, in the millennium. This is when they will be fulfilled. All right, these promises, these covenants that God made with Abraham and David. Those promises that he made to Abraham and David, those covenants, there's a few times down through the Old Testament that God was going to do something, and some of those prophets would remind God, said, hey, you made a promise to David, you can't do this. And the Lord's like, yeah, you're right. I made a promise to David, but I can't do this. All right, the plan of salvation is works. No faith is needed because Jesus will be reigning on this earth in person. He's going to be right there. Before, in his earthly ministry, he came, was born of a virgin. They had to believe by faith that he was the Messiah. And they had to believe what he was preaching was true. There was faith involved. In the millennium, he's coming back. The Messiah will be here. The Antichrist will show up in the tribulation and deceive many. He's going to deceive a whole lot of people. He's going to deceive a lot of Jews. He's going to deceive a lot of Gentiles. But he's going to be destroyed. It's not going to work out. And Jesus himself will show up. The Messiah will be here. Alright, the everlasting gospel is going to be preached during this time. It's fear God and give glory to him. Revelation chapter number 14. I'll go over and read that for you. The everlasting gospel, fear God and give Him glory. It'd do us good to practice that now. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. This is going to take place. This angel is going to go preach this thing during the millennium, saying with a loud voice. Preaching ought to be loud. Amen. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of the judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And you can continue to read about that there. But the everlasting gospel is going to be preached during the millennium. The world will be under the instructions that Jesus Christ gave in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, which is also known, those two chapters are known as the Constitution for the Kingdom. So when you read Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and he's going over all those things there in those two chapters, that this is the Constitution for the millennium. These are all the things that Christ is saying is going to take place during the millennium. All right? And so whenever you're reading through there, there's a lot of spiritual application can be made to your life, and you'd be a better Christian. Blessed is the man that does this, this, this. All those things. You'll be better off by following that. But it's the Constitution there for the millennial kingdom. All right, man's disobedience, wrath against the Lamb. Satan's going to be let out. And he's going to go gather all the nations and all the people that are against Christ. And there's going to be a great battle take place. So there will be people that will still reject with him sitting right there. All right, God's judgment, the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. The kingdom age is preceded by the judgment of the nations, which will decide which Gentiles get to go into the kingdom. This is, again, a whole other study, but just trying to... There's so many topics that can be covered in this. The kingdom age is preceded by the judgment of the nations, which will decide which Gentiles get to go into the kingdom. And if you want a deeper study on that, it's the nations that help the Jews. He said He will bless them that bless His people. He'll curse them that curse them. America has been blessed for years, and I do believe it's because of their relationship with Israel. But that's changing very, very quickly. Changing very quickly. It's hard for God to bless a nation that is not standing with Israel, one, and two, is murderers, offering up children, the sacrifices. That's what abortion is.
Yeah.
All right. So that takes us to the last one here. How much time I got left? All right. I'm going to try to get done so Jack can start next week. So here's your 1 week warning. All right. Does anybody got any questions on that one? All right. The dispensation of the fullness of times. The final period given in the Bible is the fullness of times. Look with me. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find this reference. This is where we get the name of this dispensation. When Brother Jim taught, he kind of went over some of them battles, the Battle of Armageddon and things like that. All these prophetic things are going to take place, and they fit within this study that we're talking about, but we're skimming the surface. All right? The dispensation of the fullness of times. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. This is where we get the name of this time period, the dispensation of the fullness of times. Ephesians 1:10. This dispensation covers Revelation chapter 21. your Bible, Revelation chapter 21, John saw three different things. He saw a new heaven, a new earth. And New Jerusalem. But we'll get to that in a second. Begins with the creation of the new heaven and new earth, Revelation 21:1. Everything that we hold so dear in this life, all the tangible things, they're going to burn up. If they make it through the 7 years of tribulation, with the famine and the looting and the fire and the severe weather that's going to take place during the tribulation, more than likely whatever we have right now won't make it through all that. But if it does, and then it lasts another 1,000 years, it was probably made in the United States somewhere, not China or wherever else. If it makes it through all that, it's going to burn up. It's all going to go up in flames. Amen. Only what's done for Christ will last. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. John said, I saw a new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And so John saw these things. So it begins with the creation of the new heaven and new earth, and it goes through eternity. It doesn't end. This thing just goes on and on and on. Three new places that's mentioned by John in these passages is a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. I don't know how anybody can think that God doesn't care about Israel, the Jews, that little spot of land over there of Israel. I mean, when you look at a map, it's really not much to it. In Jerusalem, I mean, but God cares a whole lot. He talks a whole lot about that place. It's special to Him. New heaven, a new earth, and new Jerusalem. The dispensation covenant, all the covenants are fulfilled. We will spend eternity with Christ. Every tear shall be wiped away. Amen. Amen. All things will be made new. Revelation 21:4, it's not there in your paper, but God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That is the new covenant. Amen. No more. I'm looking forward to all that. No more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more asthma. Amen. All things will be complete in Christ. That is the new covenant. All right, God is going to populate the new heavens as well as the new earth. And this is a whole other study you could get into, but why do you think there's so many planets? Amen. If Adam and Eve would have never sinned, but population would have went on, there would have been no death. Where would have all the people gone? Right? And they could have inhabited. We have no clue how big the universe is. I mean, every year they're finding new planets. Every year, they're like, oh, by the way, we found a whole other galaxy. We found a whole other planet. I mean, every year they're discovering as technology grows, and they still don't know. They still don't know. All right, so if you've got people and they're just going on and life's going on and on and on, God's going to populate the new heavens as well as the new earth. And we're going to have a body like Christ's, which is a whole other study as well. But Christ could be in heaven and show up down here just like that. He could walk through walls. He could go, and we're going to have a body like His resurrected body. All right? It's a neat study. You can write down those verses there and look them up sometime. They should be in your book. All right? The plan of salvation, to save the Jews and Gentiles that come out of the kingdom age, they're going to be given access to the tree of life in New Jerusalem. And they will go into eternity with eternal life. Those passages are found in Genesis, Revelation, and there's other prophetic scriptures to that as well. The tree of life will be on both sides of the river there, and they'll be able to come to it and get their eternal life. All right, everybody got that? All right, there's some more references to the tree of life. I think I've already given you those. All right, man's disobedience. No sin. Amen. I'm thankful for that. No sin. All right. Does anybody have any questions on these? I know we went through two different time periods pretty quickly. Does anybody have any questions or comments on those things? Amen. All right. Well, Lord willing, next week, that will be teaching for a few weeks on tribulation. And also, I asked him to teach after that on the a subject called the gap theory or gap facts, whichever way you look at it. But I asked him to teach on that, and that's an interesting subject. And it's also one that I'm not breaking fellowship over if somebody believes in a different way. Amen. We've had folks believed it differently. I didn't know it was a doctrine worth splitting hairs over, but I've asked him to teach on it. We're on the same page on it, so he's going to go over that. And then after that, Lord willing, we'll might have a few other classes before Brother Gaddis is going to teach starting in January. Some stuff on finances and look at some verses on that and some things that God showed him over the years. So looking forward to that as well. Amen. So what about after that? I don't know. I pray the Lord comes back. I pray he comes back for next week.
Yeah.
Not so we don't have to hear Dad preaching. He can so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maybe he'll come before the end of the service today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anybody have any comments, statements, questions, gripes, complaints? Hopefully this overview has been helpful. And if there is a certain subject within this or even any other subject that you would like to know more about or even have taught or do a lesson on, come ask me about it. If you don't want to ask me about it, maybe you want to be anonymous, write it down on a piece of paper and drop it in the offering box. And we'll get it and open it up and see what it says.
I did that in Ohio, and we had some of the craziest questions, but it was some of the best studies.
Yeah.
I asked every one of them. So it made me dig in and study, and like, okay, well, that's crazy. Yeah. And you get looking at
it. Yeah, but there are things that people read, they're like, hey, I don't know about this.
Right.
I'm
but
like,
they're embarrassed to ask. So legitimate questions. Go in the offering box.
Yep. All right. Is that